perhaps, in my own theory, I don't see the difference. But I just know that it's the same exact time. Rav Avinu, according to that day, he was 48 years old. Came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was exactly the same year as the Dor HaFlav. Perhaps he saw it, and he, but no one else, understood the events in the proper context. It's a Bala Vira. He dispersed them. We read about it in Chumash, but no one else who lived at the time saw twice of it. Politics, they went up, they went down, they got dispersed, they had a fight. And he said, no, it's not stomach fight. This is all the Yad Hashem. What occurred to me as well is that, again, I was looking at the same timeline. It's amazing. Generally speaking, you know, as Chazal say elsewhere, the normal thing is generations go by, that the generations are obviously born in order, and the normal circumstances, they pass away in order. One after the other, you know. That's how it normally goes. So I was looking at this guy Peleg, Kibyon Difficult Horatz, he died in the year 1996, with the Bria. It's unbelievable how many generations of mourners are left behind him. I think that's the deal. I don't have it in front of me. I don't have one of those Chumash and Rashi's in English or Chesama Chumash in English. They have in the back is timelines. So they have there that the whole bunch of generations from Noah until Avraham Avinu, which you read about in the last Shabbos. And I believe, again, I don't have it in front of me, so I don't remember precisely, but I recall that five generations above him was still alive. Connecting the man being mourned by his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, his great-great-grandfather, and maybe even his great-great. I don't remember exactly how many were alive. It's unbelievable. And why did he die prematurely? Presumably because of Machlekes. Kibiyam of Disregards. Rashi says it was a Ruach HaKadosh when they named him. I don't know what the Pshat is. Maybe he got involved in the Machlekes. I don't know what happened exactly. Maybe they put a smoke, Rashi says. Maybe one of the victims. We see the terrible concepts of Machlekes that could be five generations above him were still alive. Boom. Then I have another theory. But it says, I looked at that same timeline, I was just again amazed. The year later, 1997, the timeline said it was another death. The death was of Nochor. Which Nochor? The two Nochors. Nochor was the father of Terach. And after was, obviously Terach had a son whom he named Nochor, like Avraham Avinu's brother. So Nochor died a year afterwards. Also, much prematurely, and is again succeeded by, who knows, the survivor, many, many generations above him. Well, unbelievable. So I was wondering, well, why did he die so early? So I thought the same thing. But this, we said before, is correct. So when Avraham Avinu was 48 years old when he discovered Hashem. And the Chazal said, when he discovered Hashem, what did he do? He broke Terach's idols. And what happened? We all know what happened right after they broke Terach's idols. So Terach went to Nimrod and Nimrod put him in the Kibshan Esh, and it was a whole fight, and Avraham Avinu came out alive, and Haran died in the Kibshan, a whole story. So it occurred to me, if that all happened in that year, it's not surprising that this poor guy Nochor died from aggravation. Here he sees that his son is found with his grandson, his son is Terach, and his grandson Avraham Avinu. And another grandson gets killed in the fire. He gets saved. And he gets looked. Blah, 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 blah. Maybe that's the reason why he died from grief. Again, machlokes is what sometimes causes, as it says, that the idea of machlokes is causes life to be short. For the beginning of Parshas Korach, another theory. The bridge between last week's Mystic Parsha, of course, is the death of Terach, followed by the move of Avraham Avinu to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Canaan, as it's called then. Rashi comments in the last pasuk of last week's parasha, it's really a medrash in this week's parasha, Lech Lecha. Rashi doesn't say it exactly, the Maral takes Rashi to task for playing around with the medrash, as we did it, you made it worse, Rashi. The Maral's not afraid to argue with Rashi Shtak. I mean, he wrote his whole sefer on Rashi, obviously he held from Rashi, but once in a while he says, well, Rashi, the medrash is not the way it is. You don't have to change things around. But the Ikar Nekuda is that Terach, by simple chronology, again, just look at the timeline, he lived long after Avraham Avinu went to Eretz Yisrael. Do the math, I think 60, 65 years beyond. So why did the Torah say that Terach died before Avraham Avinu went to Eretz Yisrael? Cover up! Cover up! That's what it says. Mamash, a cover up. Shaloyah, that was before some lakol. A cover-up. Of course, the question becomes, Manasha, is it right or is it wrong to leave? So obviously the answer is right. If Hashem told him to leave. If Hashem told him to leave, what are you worried about? Just say the truth. Hashem told him he's allowed to leave. So what kind of going on over here? So you look in the, I think the answer is as follows. If Rabosa, it's mutter for everyone to leave, that's what the halacha says, then, in all cases, then it wouldn't be so necessary. Look, we do many things in our halacha, and then people make fun of us. What can you do? We have to tell the truth as it is. But when it's an exceptional case, which is an exception that Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded us particularly for this particular case, but it's not a general halacha, then those who understand, understand. But those who don't, it becomes more problematic. And what is that? The Medrash says in this week's parsha, Rashi doesn't quote this line. Lech lecha. The Medrash asks the word lecha. Lecha ani poter. V'le'acheyem ein ani poter. You are exempt from kibud av, but nobody else. And I understand that it's just an exceptional case. The world doesn't know about it. The world will think Avraham Avinu is doing something wrong, leaving an aging father. Will be a chilul Hashem. Rashi, the Medrash says Rashi doesn't quote that either. V'chal Hashem Shemayim. She's afraid to leave. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu, don't worry, you leave, and I'll take care of it, I'll put this Vayomer Tarech B'Choron first. It's affect the morale. We're talking about idiots, they can't do mathematics, just add it up! You don't have to be a big Bible scholar to figure out. He was this old, he was this old, it just adds up, doesn't it? Rashi tells you. Avram was 75 years old, Tarech was 70 years old, when Avram Avinu was born, that's 145. And it says in the pasuk, it says over here, little 205, the perish, the same pasuk. Do the math, doesn't add up. What's going on over here? So Rashi quotes from Chazal, Satsad Misot, Rishon, B'chayim Kuya Mason. Vayamas Terek B'chara, he died because he was a Russian. Okay. He was a Russian before. And moreover, if you look in different gears in the Medrash, is a va'od. Is a va'od. The two separate, that's the passage, the two separate explanations. One is kuya mesim, and one is not. The chani potem. So what's it all about? Because I want to discuss this from the back of a very important inyan. Is a machlokas we have rishonim, is a person required to honor his father or mother if they are rishonim? Rambam says yes, and everyone else says no. Not the first time. So it occurred to me that if the other Rishonim said the Tur of the Rambam was wrong, based on the Gemara, we'll see soon. The Tur is right, and there's no obligation to honor a father who is a Rasha. But the question becomes, so then what's the big deal? That Avraham Avinu left the Chani Poter. Why the Cha? But Avram is the only person whose father was a Rosh. We don't tell him was a Rosh. So, such an exception. So, for Keretz, the Medrash Rabbah's Mashal, a little bit like the Rambam Shita. They're normally required to honor a father, even if the father was wicked. If Avram Avinu, for some reason, which you don't know yet, it's an exception. Why did the Torah argue in the Rambam? Because the Rambam is against the Gemara. The Mefurash Gemara. It's a Gemara in Baba Kama. Because it relates a little bit to Baba Metzia too, actually. I told the Talmid at the beginning of the year, Belina, the next term, we're going to learn Hilchos Ribbis, Belina Adam, Perigazu Neshach. So, in Ribbis, there's a halacha that you have to give back Ribbis. You took Ribbis in an illicit fashion, you're required to return the Ribbis. What happens in a case in which a father died, her father died, and he was an individual who took ribbis. It's a marchi in Baba Metzia, which you can, let me see if it, well, this looks like a little short in Baba Metzia. So, Adav Samach Beis, the Gemara talks about this issue, in Terkez and Neshech. Says if the person, if a father died, then if it's a davar mesuyim, if it's a specific object, it's because we have this chayav and a half, then they kvod aviyim. In fact, the Gemara, kvod aviyim, What are you talking about? He's a Russian. Not also Mas Amchis, but he takes ribbis. Answer the Gemara, Bisha'asa Tshuva. So why is he doing that? He didn't get a chance to return until he died. See, clearly in the Gemara, without a question, Rabbi Matthias Samuel Basim and Al, that without Tshuva, you would not be required to return the object with Nek for Avim. Says the Torah, the Mefurish Gemara, that there's no Kibbutz for someone who's a Russian. Can't get more Mefurish than that. It's against the Rambam.
Why is it Kibbutz?
I'm sorry.
Ribbis is
Zayl.
You can't.
No, it's not Zayl. We'll discuss a leap by Richas. So Ribbis is not Zayl. Not for now. So that's one Gemara. The Torah quotes this Gemara. Because he had another Gemara, which the Torah doesn't quote, others quote. That's a Gemara in the Sefer Psochim. I believe that's Menvav. That Chizkiyahu HaMelech. His father Ochaz died. If you look in the Psukim, and the Gemara explains it more by Richas, he gave his father a very unceremonious funeral. It wasn't a state funeral. Girer Atzmos Ovim Agabe Chavolim. He dragged the coffin on the ground, on the strings. Very, not geschmack. So, and the Gemara says, Hold Allah Chachamim. The Chachamim thought he did the right thing. So another Gemara, his father Ochaz was in Russia, he was presumably put from the midst of Kibbutz Avaim. So you have two Gemaras. So how can the Rambam answer these two Gemaras? That's the question. Two Gemaras against the Rambam. So I heard a tariff like this. The Minchas Chinuch has a Shaila in Hilchas Kibbutz Av. That's, I think, Lamed Gimel. He wants to know, is Kibbutz Av a mitzvah ben al-makom or ben al-chaver? Now your first reaction, of course, ben al-chaver. But we'll think again. Where is Kibbutz Av? Which dibros? Which side? The first half, right? The first David Dibra number 5. What does that indicate, Rabosa? You know what the Dibra saw. The last five are all Ben Al-Chaver. And the first five are Pashtas, so what? Ben Al-Makom. So it's a big question. What is it? It's kind of a bridge. What is it? So, Nafkamina. Halacha Lamaita, Rabosa. For all you guys. The person wasn't careful enough in Kibbutz Avaim. So he has to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ask to have a Mechila Slicha V'Kapara. But you have to get Mechila from your father and mother first. So if it's a Ben Amalam Malkom, no. Ben Amalam Chaveru, then yes. So which one is it? So Minchas Chinuch is note, based upon the Sefer HaChinuch, that it is a Ben Amalam Chaveru. After all, the Sefer HaChinuch says, what's the Shoresh HaMitzvah of Kibbutz Av? HaKoras HaTov, Priyas Tov. Your father and mother brought you into the world. They took care of you when you were very young. So whatever they are right now, it's irrelevant. You owe a debt to them, but you can never really repay. The Ramban, however, in Chumash, Aseres HaDibros, explains, what's this Kabbalah Hashem, Kabbalah Avicha V'Simecha, and the Chazal say, Hukash Kvodo L'Kvod HaMokom, and it's in the first half of the Dibros. So he says, quotes the Gemara Masechta the Kiddushin, Taf Lamed, Omed Beis, I believe. But the Gemara says that Shlosha Shutfim Adam, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, VeAviv, VeImo. So therefore, if the person is the father or mother are partners with Hashem, and therefore you have to honor Hashem, Kabbat is Hashem. So part of Nichlal and Kibbutz Hashem is Kibbutz Aviv VeImo. That's classic. But Anu Lamakom. So we're going to assume our both sides for today's discussion. Assumption: we're going to assume that they're both true. You have to honor your parents for two reasons. Ben Anu Lachavero. And Ben Allah Malkum, because it should fit in the Kodesh Baruch Hu in your creation. So far, so good. Good. Now there's another second assumption. The Maram Shik says, and others imply, that all Chiyuvim Ben Adam Lachavero only apply to someone who is alive. You have responsibility to someone who's alive. There's no actual Ben Adam Lachavero to someone who's not alive. Not alive, so he's. Yotzim Mechal Chavero. So you have to take care of him. After that's Chesed Shalemes. That's not a Ben Adam Lachavero as such. Memele Abosai. We can make the following suggestion. Let's go back to the Kasha. The Kasha is the Rambam says that you're required to honor your father or mother if they are Rishoyim. The Gemara says no. How do you reconcile the Gemara with the Rambam? Here's the answer. Normally, if a person in this room is required to honor father or mother, there are two halachas. You have to honor them because you owe them a debt of gratitude. Ben Adam Lachavero. You have to honor them because they're, as it were, partners with Hashem. You have to honor Hashem, to honor his partners. Fine. Rabbi Olsay, however, these two dimensions, each one of them has a limitation. How so? The Ben Amalek Haver, we just pointed out, is a limitation, only applies if a father is alive. If a person, parent passes away, the Ben Amalek Haver dimension no longer applies. And there's another limitation. If a person is a Rasha, so based upon the Ramban, we can make the following suggestion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu picks his partners very carefully. He's not interested in being a partner with someone, to be labeled as a partner with someone who is a Rasha. True, at that moment in time of creation, he was involved. But it's not an ongoing partnership. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be his partner. And therefore the Ben Adam Lamakom perhaps might not apply to another than Rasha. So, that's the case, just do a simple calculation. The person, his father is a tzaddik and he's alive. Yechayv kibud aveim on two scores. Ben Adam Lamakom because he's a tzaddik, and Ben Adam Lachaver because he's alive. If a person's father is a tzaddik, but no longer alive, you're obligated to do kibud aveim like Moses Beferish. Bechavda bechayv and bechavda memoso. Why? Ben Adam Lachaver. He's a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an eternal partnership. If the person is a Rasha and is alive, you're obligated to honor him. Why? Ben Adam Lachavero only. He's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu's partner. But bottom line, whatever, he's a Rasha, no Rasha, Rasha or not, he brought you into this world. She brought you into this world. You have to get a Karas HaTov, no matter what else, other things they did. But on both sides, if the father has two chesronos, number one, he's a Rasha, number two, he's dead, then there's no chiyuv to honor him. There's no Ben Adam Lachavera because he's dead. And there's no Ben Adam Lamakom because he's a Rasha. If that's the case, the Rambam has answered. The Rambam said you have to honor your father or mother who's a Rasha means when there's alive because of the absence of Ben Adam Lachavera. The two Gemaras which say that you don't, as it happens, of course, as we say, it's not a coincidence, are both referring to a father who died. Right? So one case of Levaya, and the other case of paying back ribbis which he collected in his lifetime. This answers Shita's Rambam. Ad kan shamat. Here's what I heard. So we see, therefore, if this is correct, that there are two dimensions to kibud aveim. Go back to Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Lech lecha me'yatzcha. Lecha ani poter, ulacherim ein ani poter. So what does that mean? Quote Rambam is very good. Lecha, I'm patur, even though your father's in Russia, I make an exception. But everyone else's father's in Russia is required to honor an aging father. Everyone is required. Let's go further than that. Why was Avraham Avinu an exception? The Maharal Mei Prague gives us chat. He says the reason why you're required to honor your father is because of the connection between the two of you. As he said before, there's a kind of a hakaras hatov, because I owe such a great debt of gratitude. There's a strong connection. Says the Maral, the whole yisod over here in this Rashi, in this Medrash, is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha Me'atz, what he was saying is, your past is behind you. I'm severing completely any connection that you have with your ancestors. Why? Because we know the klal. Gershon is gaika katan shenola dami. If someone converts even today from being a goy to being a yid, al pi ikar adin, there's no longer any kibud av, there's no longer any connection, nothing. There's no connection, there's no shaychus anymore. So it might just a tshuva, it's a nice thing to, if the person has a non-Jewish parent and he converted, and he's very sick, to go visit him. Good. I'm not saying no, chas v'shalom. But from a technical perspective, once a person is severed from the relationship with the parents by halacha, kikotin shenola dami, then there's no chiv. That's what Maral says trapped in this Rashi. Lecha ani poter, you're the only one that I don't see. There was no official conversion process in the Avraham Avinu's time, but there was a severing of the history of the historical epochs from pre Avram to post Avram. Pre-Avram was told, the Gemara says. Shnei Alafim told was nothing. And then Shnei Alafim was Torah, was Ora of Avraham Avinu. The Ora before was Choshech. So therefore there's no connection in Apidin between Avraham Avinu and Terach. That's what it means. Vayomos Terach B'choron means that this comes at this point in time when Avraham Avinu made Lepecha, it was a new epoch, a new era, a new world. And therefore the connection between Avraham Avinu and his ancestry was severed. That's what it means. L'chani poter, only you. It says Vayomas Terach Bachar. It doesn't mean he was dead. He was tzaddikim Risham and Rishasim Kuyim B'chayam Kuyim Mason. That's a separate discussion. Without that, a lot of Risham in the world. This is unique because here there was this total severing of the connection because Avraham Avinu was starting a whole new world with a whole new people with a whole new epoch. And everything which came before was considered cancelled, and that's why L'chani Poter. Only Avraham Avinu had a special exemption from the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avim. But anybody else, even if the father was a Rasha, there'd be a requirement to honor the father. That's the Pasha Pshat in this Medrash with the Rashi, with the Maral, I believe based upon the Rambam. But this leads us with an interesting question. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Avraham Avinu? Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. Go to Eretz Yisrael. Isn't the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael more important than Kibbutz Avim? Certain Sfarim says that way. If you look at the Pesukei Teshuva and Evan HaEzer, there's some poskim will say that the mitzvah of the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is more important than Kibbutz Avim. And if your father says stay in America and you want to go to Eretz Yisrael and Aliyah, you shouldn't go. You should go. And if your Eretz Yisrael father says come home, you should stay in Eretz Yisrael. That's what it says in certain Sfarim. So if that's the case, it's a very modern Maisa. What do you mean L'cha Ani Poter? Well, L'cha! L'cha Ani Poter! Well, there's no exception. Everyone is permitted to leave a parent to go to Eretz Yisrael. Not only permitted, but required in the midst of Yishuv Eretz. What's L'cha Ani Poter? What's going on here? I saw Rabbi Avadia Svar, Michav Adas, he brings a raya that in fact Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is more important than Kibbutz Avim from a Tosis. Tosis in Avodah Zarah says that you leave Eretz Yisrael for only two mitzvahs. One is to get married, okay, and one is to learn Torah. And elsewhere, Chazal say, if Parnos is a real big problem, you maybe can leave too. I don't mean you can't make it $10 billion, but if you remember, you need a Parnos to live, so then you can leave as well. But there are really two mitzvahs. You're allowed either to get married or to learn Torah. Biggies. So the Rabbi Vajra says, look, it doesn't say keep it up. There are only two exceptions, not three exceptions. So therefore you see, you can't leave Eretz Yisrael for Kibbutz Av. In prison, religion, you can't leave Eretz Yisrael for Kibbutz Av. Pashta says you have to go to Eretz Yisrael despite Kibbutz Av. There's no real difference in inertia. Well, it's just, either Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is Docha or not Docha. It's not where you are right now, this minute. What's the matter? The Pashta says it tells Hal Bahatalia. That's the Pashtas. If you can't leave, so then you should go. I don't see a fundamental distinction between one and the other. Oh. So this is what occurred to me, the following chat, based upon an interesting Gemara in the Sechta Kiddush. Let me first give you my teretz first, and then we'll approach the Gemara later, because you don't have a text in front of you. My teretz is as follows, with the following motion. Just imagine somebody lives in your community and he's starting a business. And in order to start a business, he has to borrow $1 million. No problem. He's starting a high tech, no? What are they saying? So he's starting some new business. He can make it back in a few years and pay it back. No problem. Lend $1 million, no problem. After a short while, he decides he wants to go on Aliyah. Let's say, now it may not be true anymore, but 10 years ago anyway, before the high techs in Israel, you couldn't make any money in Eretz Yisrael. You barely make a parnas. Now it's not. Now I'm told you can make just as much money there as here. I'm saying it's a global village, you just get on the internet. It's all the same. But in the years gone by, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, everyone knows. In Eretz Yisrael, you can't make any money. I mean, again, I'm talking about 10 years ago. The joke then in Eretz Yisrael was, how do you make a small fortune in Eretz Yisrael? The joke would come with a big fortune. That was a joke. But you used to say it. You shouldn't say jokes against Eretz Yisrael. It's now no longer true. They can make a lot of money in Eretz Yisrael. But those years. So he wants to go on Aliyah. So the guy who lent him money says, Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Just learning Baba Matzia Dav Zayin. parati, you have to pay the piron b'chol mitzvah, you have to pay up my debt. Pay $1 million, and then you can go there and just throw. You can never, you'll never pay me back if you can hold it against me. So the lova says, my dear friend, you trying to stop me from fulfilling the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? It's a mitzvah, the rice. You can't stop me from fulfilling the mitzvah. Okay, they come to the Rav for a din taru. The lova says, Choshka nafshi v'Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah d'oraisa, I want to go. Aliyah, everyone knows the mitzvah. Lech lecha. It's a mitzvah later on in Chumash. The Ramban counts as one of the Taryag. Even going to the Ramban, it doesn't count it. So many posts will say, Ram held that it's not a chiyuv to go to Eretz Yisrael, but certainly it's a chiyuv to go to Eretz Yisrael. And he wants chiyuv, and he doesn't want to fulfill his chiyuv. Chazal speaks so glowingly about the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The shkul looking at it called a mitzvah. And Chazal say that, you know, I'm just giving a little bit of pitch to Eretz Yisrael. Chazal say that someone who lives in Chutz Lartz is Chas Shalom, like he doesn't have a guard, based on Pasuk and Parshas Bahar. If you're in Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, you have a God, otherwise not. That's his time. And the Malva comes to him and says, what are you talking about? He owes you $1 million. I'm not going to be able to pay me back. So, no, you're right. I won't be able to pay back. But it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. If you were the Rav, how would you pass him? No. Absolutely, that's a lot of cost. Got to pay back. What do you mean? It's not one of the two exceptions. It's not one of the two exceptions. It's not Lisa Isha, it's not Lisa Motor. What are you talking about? Here's the answer, Rav Osai. Those are two exceptions. But not Lachavera? What are you kidding? You're going to go on Aliyah on his back? You borrow $1 million. For that $1 million, you'll buy a beer in Yerushalayim, which costs about $1 million in some of the places. And then you won't pay him back. You bought the money to go into business in America, not to buy a dira in Rehavia. What are you doing over here? You can't do that. It's not allowed. Memela, it seems to me, this explains to us exactly why we should argue that Kibbutz Avaim is also more important than Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because of the chinuch. The chinuch says a kibbutz avaim is priyas chov. It's paying back a debt. $1 million. So you owe your parents only $1 million. Your very existence you owe your parents. It's more than $1 million. You owe everything. You never pay them back. Mimela, if your parents need you, in general, kibbutz avaim has to be, we call a reasonable request. So let us pass to you. Your father says to you, run around the block all day. You're not mechuyev because it's an unreasonable request. Yira is to obey him, that's true. But if it's unreasonable, you're not required to obey. It could be that b'sman hazeh, a parent who's not aging as Terech was, Chazal used an expression in the Medrash, and Rashi quotes part of it. Hinicho zokin v'holachla. He's only 145 years old and he wasn't a youngster. So he presumably needed his son to help him out a little bit. But let's say the parents are young. The parents are, I don't know, the parents are in their 40s. And the son is in his 20s. And the parents are, you know, they don't need a son to help him out with his need. And they say, but we like you nearby. We like you nearby, which is, they're right. We like you nearby. We want you to live here in our community. Here, a block away, or in this neighborhood, or in this city, or in this state. They have a shtickle taina. If you look in a Tois and Kiddushin, it's mashma, a little bit, that children, if all of the things being equal, should live near their parents. I should be more specific. When a couple gets married, they should live near his parents. So Tois goes, chat, ish, imo, v'aviv, tiro, ish with only ish below isha. She was shus acherim aleha. What does that mean? So Tosim says, "Hey, child over there. She's not near her parents. She lives in California, and he lives in New York. So presumably they get married. They live in New York. They're his parents. That's a pasha, so he can fulfill kibbutz avaim. And she moves out. She goes to her husband's house in New York. And gemarno, she doesn't see them. That's the pasha in Tosim. I repeat, all other things being equal. Not all men are created equal. I mean, not all situations are created equal. What will happen in the case when, in order to make a parnasa, the guy has to live near Shver in California? So the parents in New York will scream, no, it's against the Tysus. It happened to me. I once had this year and a guy came to me. Will you tell my son to move from California back to New York now? The answer is, I didn't tell him anything, because his parnasa, whatever he was doing, it was set up in California and couldn't necessarily duplicate it here in New York. So that's it. All things are not created equal. It's not necessarily equal. Many people don't live in the same city as their parents these days. Especially these days, the chiv is not so great, because there's phones and there's faxes and there's cell phones and there's planes, and it's not the same as it used to be. But I'll call upon him. Everyone's equal, you should live near your parents, and if it's not equal or not. So in that calculus is, do your parents need you, obviously. So Terah was an older man and he really did need his children. Said the Medrash, you're right. I remember this, by right should not have left. Despite the Mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, L'cho ani poter, you, I say, go on Aliyah, even though really anyone else would stay behind and take care of the older parents and not go on Aliyah. The parents lived 120 years, and then they go on Aliyah. If the parents really need you. That's always a question of definition. I agree, that's a question of definition. Who knew whether they need you, whether it's really, you know, appropriate to leave them, or they can do without you. This requires a shaylas rav. If you need someone to pass them, like anything else. All kibbutz decisions require, when is a question, a shaylas rav. The mazel that you have is that the children have to get to ask the shaylas, because they're the ones that have the mitzvah upon them. So if your father says, do this, your father says, go to medical school. You don't want to go to medical school. So you got to ask the shaylas by a rav. My father wants me. He's okay, this is a yira. My year is the little Easter of Tavar. I've got to listen to what he says. But I don't want. It's not for me. So I have to get a shot by the ropes. So they give an answer whether the father's question is reasonable and you have to adhere to it or not. That's why I see it in abstract.
Year has to be reasonable or only kibbutz?
This is only year. It's not kibbutz. Kibbutz is very little. Kibbutz is feeding him and clothing him, and that's all. Kibbutz is very restricted. The daily show. Some people say they don't obey your parents at all. It's not covered all year. Mashmos of the Tosfos of Kedushin, Rav Tarfon, is that Yishalmi, is that it is considered yira to obey, even if it's not for the, it's not yet contradicting his words directly, because if you don't obey, it's also a contradiction in effect. Pashtus. Anyway, you hear what I'm telling you. So therefore, comes the Chani Pota. Only Avraham Avinu was Pota from Mitzvah Kibbutz Avei under these circumstances, because it's an exception. As the Maral explained, no connection. Period. But everybody else who wants to go on Aliyah, and the parents need him, and the parents are elderly, whatever the case may be. I don't know if you're allowed, I'm not sure you're allowed to go. To me, it's a very serious child. Oh. So what's the Gemara in Kiddush, which I think is related to this, the famous Gemara, Kiddush Laman Aleph from the Beit. This is to the Gemara. It's an amazing Gemara. The Rav Asi had an elderly mother. This mamash ties into the parsha. This mamash kibbutz avein. It ties into Eretz Yisrael. This is the gemara. This is the gemara. So his mother was an almana, and his mother asked Rav Asi, "Please find me a husband. I want to remarry. It's a mitzvah to remarry." So he said, "Okay, I'll look around, look for a shidduch." Then she says to him, "Find me a husband who is as handsome as you." Rav Asi was a young man, and she was a much older woman, and she figured, what's with this woman? She wants someone who's 30 years younger than her. That just doesn't add up. She realized that there was dementia. She wasn't have it exactly clear. She wasn't completely clear. And he couldn't handle it. Some people can't handle it, and some can't. So he left her. I'm sure he left her a nice, with nice people, whether they have some kind of a home in those years or whatever it is. He left. He went to Eretz Yisrael. Gets to Eretz Yisrael, and he hears she's coming to get him. She's coming after him. This woman is an elderly woman, It's go making the trip from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. There's no El Al. And if you know how far it is and how treacherous the journey is with Mamash Lakonis and Voshes, she's coming. Something by Rav Asan to Rav Yochanan and says, may one leave Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Yochanan said, no. Likras ima mal. May leave Eretz Yisrael to greet your mother. Lo yadan. I don't know, he says. Don't know. Yochanan is the God of the door. He doesn't know. Who's going to know? I don't know. Yisrach, Purtus is the Gemara. He waited a little bit. He asked him again. Asi, he says to him, Nisrat says, Salasais, you want to leave? Hamokon Yavzirko the show. Okay, go with the bay. Adahochi Vahochi, while this is going on, he says, leaves there at straw, goes to, starts on his way to Bogel. Shama the Aronabo. Her Aron, her coffin is coming. She never died on the trip. What did he say? Omar? Iyadi lo nafki. Says Rav Pashto, says me to me. If I would have known that she died, I would not have left Eretz Yisrael to come greet her funeral procession. Rav Marsha, why not? Same daf. Mechabda, mechaya, mechabda, mimoso. Mechabda, mechaya, mechabda, mimoso. Rav Marsha's kasha. So first I'll give you a pshat, which is not my point. I'm not going to tell you just my point. I believe the Tosis Riyah Zokin and the Sardin Kedusha are a different pshat than the Chavda Lanosa. The only case where the Gemara had the Chavda Lanosa, only one little case, where the person that the father died within 12 months is required to say, Hareini Kaparas Mishkom. So actually, it explains what that means, that the punishments that my father's neshama may be getting in Gehenna, I want to take it on myself. Let me be punished, not him. It's only for a year. For that, everyone goes to Gan Eden. So it could be that Mechabdo, what does Mechabdo mean? Very few things Mechabdo. We just said before, Mechabdo is Machil u'mashka. You can't give your father another drink after they're dead. Maldish. You know, mechase or mafshi, you take off, put on their clothes, they walk their clothes. What kind of kibbut? How can you do kibbut? This is what occurred to me. Let's say, for example, forgive me for this analogy, it's a little bit crude, but it'll wake everybody up. Maybe it may not be crude enough. Just imagine that the father. He's cold. Give him this. Chaim, give me my coat. So he gives him a coat. Let's keep it up. What's my carrot? The father's hot. Put on the air conditioning. See those two big air conditioners? Put them on. What do you say? Is that keep it up or not? What do you say? It's summertime. Avada's keep it up. It doesn't mean putting on a coat, taking off a coat. That's like climate control. You know, it's part of keep it up. Food control and climate control. You know, clothes control. So Chazal say Gehenim is like Eish, Rachmon al Tzlan. It's like a fire. Right? It's a fire. So Chazal say Brom is Zaka Abba, that his child does mitzvahs, he takes his father out of Gehenim. And apparently this trick works. If the son says to by the father, Hareini Kaparas Mishkova, I want to take some of this Gehenim on me, apparently to some extent it works. That's called Kibud Av Liachamoso. Not only that, he's putting the air conditioner. It's getting hot in there. You put on the air conditioner, it goes down from, I don't know, from X degrees to X minus something. I don't know how it works up there. So you make it a little bit cooler for the father in the Shama. So that's your mamish behind it in the Shama, with musag which we can't fully grasp for us in this world. That's kibbut av. But it's time to go to a funeral procession. Who said that necessarily kibbut av though? But most, that's the Tos Riazam that seems to say, the Chorat, that's how I understood it. But the Masha didn't learn that way. Mechavda means you honor his memory. But not to go to the funeral. It's a dishonor. You have to honor the memory by going to the memory to go. That's the Pashto in the Chavda also. Oh. It's also interesting. What was this Rav Yochanan? I don't know. I think he's a pelet. Rav Yochanan didn't know. And then he waited and came back. Okay, now you can go. What, he's learned in the interview, he looked it up in the notes, and he's like, oh, it's okay. Well, what happened? What's this conversation all about? I had the following possible interpretation. We said earlier today that the mitzvah of Kibbut Av Ve'em has two parts, Benam L'Chavero, Benam L'Mok. We also said that the permissibility to leave Eretz Yisrael for Kibbut Av is based exclusively on which dimension? On the Ben Adam L'Chavero dimension. That's why it's not one of the exceptions. Right? The exceptions are Talmud Torah V'Lisa Yishas Benam L'Mokom. Ram Lachaver is paying back a debt. We gave the example before. That's a different thing. But the Ben Adolam Mokum dimension of Kibbut Av was suggesting would not in and of itself warrant leaving Eretz Yisrael. Oh. The Neilah Rabosai, let's come back to Vasugi. So Rav Asi left Eretz Yisrael. Was he allowed to leave? Didn't Rabbi Yochanan? I don't know. I mean, don't know. Rabbi Yochanan knew everything we said and much million times more. So what didn't he know? He didn't know why Rav Asi is leaving Eretz Yisrael. What's bugging you, Rav Asi? Leave Eretz Yisrael? What is it? Likras Ima. Likras Ima is one of two things. Either Likras Ima because it's a frumkeit, has to be frum, they're on the muggle, and give honor to my mother as a partner of Hashem. That's why I want to leave Eretz Yisrael. In which case, the answer would be no. Shouldn't leave. Or, it might mean, he wants to leave Eretz Yisrael because of the debt that he owes her. Ben Adam L'Chaver. In which case, the answer would be yes. She said, any other day, I don't know. I don't know what's driving you. I don't know. She figured, look, if it's a frumkeit, I don't know, we'll stay. Comes back right away and a short while later and asks the second time. I don't want to say a second time. He really feels this debt of gratitude to his mother. He's gonna impel him to come back to his Rebbe a second time to ask the Shiloh. Must be, he really wants to pay back his mother for all that she had done for him. I see. It's for Tzeis HaLotzeis for this reason. Hamokim Avzir Chalashom. Good. He's permitted to leave for what reason? But then he finds out what? Aronaba means what? That she died. She died. Yadilo Nafki. Had I known she died, I wouldn't have left. Why not? It's Kibbut Av Ve'em. The Teretz is, sure it's Kibbut Av Ve'em. But it's only Kibbut Av Ve'em Ben Onam HaMokum. We said before that Kibbut Av Ve'em Ben Onam HaMokum is not Docha Yishev Eretz Yisrael. It's not one of the exceptions. Only Ben Onam HaChaveru has it. That didn't exist. That's my pshat in the Gemara in the Sefta Kiddush. I should, must be honest, there's another pshat in the Iyadi Lo Nafki. It's the Rashash. Not talking for our discussion for today, but just in passing. The Rambam says that if a person's parents are elderly, that he's permitted to leave them and put them in the care of those who were in charge, nice people, you call to their home, and leave. The Rambam says you're wrong. Can't leave. Frek the Ran, what do you mean you can't leave? It's a Mefurash Shigemara you can leave. Rav Asi left his aging mother, no? Rav's calling Mefurash Shigemara. Says the Rashash, the Ravid learned Pshat Negemara Faket. Rashash says, Iyadilo Nafki means, had I known that my mother would die coming to see me in Eretz Yisrael, I never would have left Bubble in the first place. I back out from my leaving. You shouldn't leave elderly parents. That's an interesting shot. That was, of course, answer the question from the very beginning. But the guy, the Mechaber, the Rambam, and this shot becomes, the Rashash becomes impossible. Adka. So we see Rav Osai here, we're discussing today and so far in this Chumash here, the balance of two critical mitzvahs. Kibbut Av Ve'em, and Yishev Eretz Yisrael. We came out with somewhat of a nuanced approach, that the Ben Adam HaMokom is Eretz Yisrael is more important. Ben Adam HaChavero, Kibbut Av Ve'em is more important. But the various nafkah mitzvahs we spoke about. But what do we see in any event? The importance of these two mitzvahs. They're both such important mitzvahs, which sometimes we're not so careful about. Kibbut Av Ve'em, both say people have parents, you have to honor them. Now, everyone here is probably in the dorm, already married. So you're not living at home on a daily basis. But you go home for Shabbos, you visit once in a while. So you have to fulfill the kibbut aveim. It's no joke. In the most literal sense of kibbut kipshuta, of, you know, giving, help your father out on his coat, pour your mother a cup of tea. This is very, very important. People shouldn't think, there's another Rashi in Chumash, two Parshas hence. Rashi says, Talmud Torah is more important than kibbut aveim. Just waiting for the yeshiva bachur to make this pitch. Where'd Rashi get it from? Got it from a good source, the Gemara Masechta Megillah. Where's the Gemara get it from? The Pesuk later on. It says that what? It's Chazer again. Yaakov Avinu left his father Yitzchak for 22 years. And he was punished for all 22 years. But Yosef was away from him for 22 years. Yeah, you're familiar with these Gemaras in Rashi, the Chumash. Gemara Megillah, end of the first paragraph. Says Rashi, but for the 14 years that he spent in Yeshiva Shem Ever, he wasn't punished. What do you see? Gemara Megillah, that God Ol Talmud Torah Yosef Mekibet Aveim. Just imagine a bachur comes back from the yeshiva for Shabbos and goes home to his parents in Teaneck or in Muncie or in Queens or Long Island, and he says, his father asks him, please take out the garbage, please help set the table for Shabbos, please. Sorry, I'm busy learning. What'd you say? I'm busy learning. It says in the Gemara Masechta Megillah, Dad, that Talmud Torah is more important than kibbut aveim. It's a Gemara. So I believe the answer is as follows. The Pesachei Tshuva already says that in Yoreh Deh, Simen Mem, Reish Mem, the Simen of Kibbut Av, that if your father asks you to give him a cup of tea while you're learning, you stop the learning, give him a cup of tea, and go back to your learning. It's against the Gemara with the 14 years. Here's the answer of Osai. It's a couple of answers, but all similar to each other. The 14 years, he was in Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever. He wasn't in and out of the house. He was far away. No. Adrab. Why did he stay home? Tell you what, no yeshiva at home. What's the difference? It's 14 years or 14 minutes. What's the difference? So here's the answer, I thought. If it's he's learning at home and his father wants him to give him a cup of tea, so you're required to give a cup of tea for the following reason. Talmud Torah, as important as it is never docha mitzvahs. A mitzvah which you can only do yourself. Let me qualify that. The Gemara in the Sefer Moed Katan that the mitzvah she'i'ef she'le acherim. You must do the mitzvah. Stop learning and put on tefillin. Stop learning and go to the sukkah, whatever else you're going to do. Whatever mitzvah goes, you got to stop learning and do all mitzvahs. If it's a mitzvah, after the acherim, you want someone to go, I don't know, do something for the community, whatever it may be. Let someone else do it. Close his TV, and he'll do it. Now stay on my Gemara. Why should I close my Gemara? He watches TV. Let someone else do it. Mimela. Often, kibbut aveim is after the acherim, because it's your only child, no one else is around, or the father wants to offer you to be involved in his life. Good. The question becomes, so why is the Gemara and Megillah say that God Talmud Torah Kibbut Aveim in 14 years? So the answer is as follows. We say that you should stop learning to do a mitzvah, the Rambam writes, V'yachsel l'talmudom, if you go back to your learning. When you go, if you stop and go right back to your learning, you have to stop learning to do the mitzvah and go back to it. But if you can't go back, the implication is, then it doesn't apply. I repeat, if you can't go back to your learning, then by stopping learning, you're stopping learning forever, and if you can't, no turning back, then perhaps the din would be different. Incidentally, as our some learned shot, we mentioned a little bit last week, that it's a peruvu, so, says the Shulchan Aruch, the person is busy learning, so he doesn't have to, he's allowed to postpone getting married and having children. So he asked the kasha, what's the matter here? Learning. Let him go, get married, and yachsel l'talmudo. So the Mefarshim say, we have some married men here. The Mefarshim say, once the person gets married, in many cases, So he's not going to be a Yachlo Tamuda. He has to support his wife, and he has to just breastfeed a child, support his child. So there is no Yachlo Tamuda. So then you'll have to keep learning for the, some say, parentheses. So here too, the guy who's living at home with Tom Shabbos can go serve the tea, go back to his safe and Yachlo Tamuda. The guy who is in a yeshiva very far away can't go back to his learning. So the male ladies, he's put them and keep it out of aim in that kind of a situation. I let the father tell him, no, don't go to yeshiva. That's the Chazal said to Gemara, no, the Talmud Torah is greater to keep it out of aim, and therefore, what it turns out, from our perspective, the father who's telling his son, leave the yeshiva, come home at home, is being unreasonable. It's an unreasonable request, and you have to adhere to it. That's the Chazal saying, the Talmud Torah is greater. So going back, we see that there are big mitzvahs over here, and the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, we said, is not the Ocha Kibbut Aveim when you're home for Shabbos. Yeah, you learn when you have free time, and if your father asks you to do something, you have to do it. Go back to learning afterwards. I'm starting to get Musa. I think it's very, very important. When I was in the dorm, I wasn't here for that long, but I was in the dorm. So, my parents lived in Queens. I was in the dorm. So I was, I left Sunday, I guess, I don't know, I forgot, Monday, Shabbos, Sunday morning, whenever I left to go back to, and I came back Friday, Kedar Pnei Yeshivas. So I felt very guilty. So I used to have a habit. I call every day. Not like today, everyone has pay phones with cell phones. Everyone has their own phone, room phone, cell phones. No one had a phone in the room, and the cell phones exist. So go to the pay phone, put in a dime. I think it was a course then, I think. A dime. And I would call. Didn't say, well, call. How are you? Took a minute. The Yashla Tabuza. I hope. After I stop, I go. I felt it was important to keep a connection. The people who are in the dorm, I think it's a good idea. You should call them every day. You live in California? So what? It's cheap now. It's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. It's a meaningless sum. You can speak short, speak long, anything can add up. But I think it's a big mitzvah. People, parents like, I think, parents don't bother me. They'll talk to you for a minute or two and say, you're doing okay, and I'll hang up. I think it's something which you should consider in your daily schedule if you can fit it in. So, of course, once I got married, I'll post a chumash. Al ken yazav ish, as other v'im, v'davak mishto. So I stopped calling every day. I thought, I'd call her. Shabbos, Motzi Shabbos, both. That was what we called before Shabbos, to wish a good Shabbos. We'd call every Shabbos, Hallel Shabbos, good Voch. And then an occasional time during the week when something came up. That was the schedule for many years. I lost my mother, Olam HaShalom, my father by himself. That creates a tremendous obligation to keep it out much more than before. So I went back to my old custom. I call my father every single day. I mean, I never say every, because I hear that, but I tried calling every single day. First of all, I was checking for safety. As long as by himself. There's also more than that. People are chalila. They are alone. They're alone. It's terrible to be alone. So the more support you can give. So my father, Zolzang, is going to be married, which a person is required to do. A person loses a spouse, so it's important to be married. Again, we read in the parashas coming up. Avraham Avinu remarried, and it's important. I didn't stop the habit. I still keep calling. It's been here quite a number of years. I'm not every day, but almost every try. It's important. Keep it up. A minute, 2 minutes. No. Keep it a tremendous miss. What about Yishev Eretz Yisrael? Also tremendous miss. These are mitzvahs which are big. I'm not opposed to other mitzvahs. Sittus is important. Tefillah is important. And what you do is important. These are mega mitzvahs here, on both sides. is a mega yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, also a mega mitzvah. And you know, as Chatoi and Maski, I'm speaking to you in New York City. I live here, you live here. So what's going on? How are you talking? Good cash. It's a good cash. Well, according to the Ramban, it's a better cash. The Ramban says it's a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael. Plus, it's a chiyuv. The Rambam says there's no chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael. Never quotes it beferish as one of the Tayag mitzvahs. There's a whole literature, why not? It's part of this, it's part of this, it's part of this, it's part of this. The Rambam clearly holds supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael. He says the Rambam shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. This passage should live there if you can. But again, if you can, it's an important consideration. The post can say, if you cannot make a parnas in Eretz Yisrael, and you can make a parnas in Chutz Laaretz, so you should better live in Chutz Laaretz to make a parnasa, rather than live in Eretz Yisrael and then not make a parnasa. Either you starve, or you go on tzedakah. That's not right. So there are people who say, I can't make a living in Eretz Yisrael, so I won't be able to get a job. I'm not going to go and be on welfare, so I have to live in America. Okay, that's a legitimate reason to live in this country. If in fact you can't find a job in Eretz Yisrael. All right, now the obviously nuance that I can find a job, it's not going to be the job, or I won't have enough to support my family, and I'll have to rely on help from my parents. I don't want to do that. You know, there are different gray areas where this comes up, but in principle, a person should try certainly to live in Eretz Yisrael. And the poskim say that individuals who are needed here in the chutzah for a particular reason, that they're helping other people, so they're not mechuyev to go to Eretz Yisrael. Let's say, for example, someone's a doctor, it's not much helping people, and in Eretz Yisrael he just can't do it. All the people try and they fail. There's a lot of not so simple over there. So he's not mechuyev to sit in Eretz Yisrael and become a menial worker when come to America, be a doctor. I don't think he's mechuyev to be in Eretz Yisrael. And then he's here in America, and we do ourselves the precious kiddush Hashem Shemayim. Doctors, are good doctors, big kiddush Hashem. Oh, doctor was a yarmulke, or he's from, and he's saved my life, saved my friend's life. That's a tremendous kiddush Hashem. In the Eretz Yisrael, he's going to become a street cleaner, whatever it may be, or some secretary. So he won't be able to do that. And the same thing about various marbite Torah, rabbonim or rabbeim. If they can find an equivalent position in Eretz Yisrael, they should go there and have a shabbat. But if they can't, then now not to leave. The Beit Gadol said that Rabbi X, Y, or Z, you're not permitted to leave your post in America because not easy to find an adequate replacement. And in Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to sit and learn on your own. You won't be able to have that kind of an influence. I guess that must be the reason why people such as myself are living in America, I guess, because we have certain positions here in this country and it's hard to duplicate. One can find positions, perhaps, but maybe it's... I once had a story, a certain person called me up on the phone, offered me a position, Rosh Yeshiva in a certain yeshiva. I said, I can't do it, thank you, and I hung up. So my wife said, what? You turned it down, and my wife said, the Nashim B'chav B'Mesaretz, in 1 second you turned it down? I said, yep, 1 second. There's nothing to think about. Why? I said, one answer, one word, politics. There was so much machlokes in that place, still the Aliyah Mazeh, that I'm like, I can't get around that thing. What, no politics in YU? The terrace is, yeah, that's one world, and I'm my world, and I'm Sychus. You know, I'm not the Rosh Hashiva. I know politics. I teach to 25, 30 Bachram in the Shia, and I have a Kol, and I say Chaburis, and I have Sheikhs with many Talmidim from all the various Shirim who ask me Shilas, and I talk about a million different things. How can I get involved in the hype politics of what's going on in the upper echelon? I try to stay away as much as I can. And if I have to get involved sometimes, it's a peripheral activity. Very peripheral compared to the time we spent together learning. That's what we're here for. So you have to do that. And then Eretz Yisrael, not so simple. You know, that particular position was out of the question. It's out of the question. So you have to know what you can do, what you can't do. Makiris Makomo is a very important thing, one of the Midrash Torah Dikusman, the Makiris Makomo. First has to know what is Makom is. There may be many individuals here in this room who will find a Makom in Chutz Laretz. I have Baruch Hashem many Talmidim for many years. I have to say the majority found a Makom in Chutz Laretz. And many of them are doing wonderful things, the Kiddush Hashem, they're doing the Chassadim, they're doing Habat HaSatara, they're doing many wonderful things. Those who, you know, don't have that particular opportunity in Chutz Laretz, I would recommend, as many of my students have done, to go there, to throw live there, whether they're computer programmers, I have, you know, experts in computers out there, I have doctors there, I have Rabbeim there, I have Talmidim of all different walks of life in both here and there. Have to be Makaris Makom. There's no place where you can do Mekadosh Shem Shemayim to the maximum effect. And that's what you put in this world for. So again, Eretz Yisrael is a very important part of our lives. We can't, especially because Man HaZeh, there's so much. I was on Eretz Yisrael now. I got a call from a Talmud, Mamish. Last week one and this week one. Frightened. They're living in Eretz Yisrael. Both of them have witnessed shootings, and these are not soldiers, not, you know, brave soldiers. They're both involved in Torah. Well, one is a Rebbe, one is a, I guess we'll call it a Kolnik, and both told me that one on the road was going with the army stopped him, and he sees that gunfire is right in front of him, and one is in his house. And it's almost like Gilo, and they shoot across the road. The Arabs are shooting, and then towards it where he lives. So, I'm not planning to move to that block. But the Indian of being Mechazik, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which is always important, is particularly important at this point in time. We have to give Chizuk to our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. This Chizuk is to recognize, at the very least, the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. I was told Rav Tversky Shalita was here 2 weeks ago, I think it was, not last week. Was anyone here when he was here? No one was here. No one says Shabbos. 2 weeks ago. So was anyone here? Go home and keep it up. We have a lot of out of towners here. So they told me Rav Tversky Shalita said that because of Eretz Yisrael, we should do something special. Well, that may be we should learn about Eretz Yisrael. Don't leave your normal life here in New York, but there's no Eretz Yisrael. It's just a blip on the screen somewhere in the back burner. It should never be that way. But Kavachoma now, when it's when our brothers and sisters are suffering so much, you don't read everything. You know, it's out of the headlines in the Times. They're still shooting, and there's still inconvenience, and there's still constant threats of bombs, and then there's roadblocks. It's not so simple there. So we should somehow, you know, attach ourselves. I saw someone or a band said Fes Bahab. In America, Fes Bahab is not a very popular thing. But people attend Fes Bahab because of the, especially because of the Matzah and Eretz Yisrael, it's commendable. It shows a shaykhus. It shows a connection. Something or other after some, I haven't decided to show yet, but I'm thinking this to Shabbos, maybe making an appeal in my shul for Shvitz, and for the Shomer Shvitz. Because Pashas Lech Lecha Eretz Yisrael. And this hits particularly hard because the people who keep Shvius, they used to get the stuff from the Arabs. Now the Arabs are not giving us fruit, they're giving us rocks and bullets. So there's no vegetables. Don't buy from Europe or from who knows where, from Asia. It's, you can't get it there, it's expensive. And the Lavachim, we should. But my main kavana, aside from helping out, what are we going to help anyone with? It's a small little shul. That people should have to give a few dollars, let it hurt them a little bit. That they should, to feel the pain of Achena B'nai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. That's the key. I mentioned, I believe, last week, Rav Chaim Shulevitz is brought that he may Noach closely. Am I correct? That the Noach is quote his fault, the Dor HaMabul, because he didn't do enough to daven. It's supposed to be, I don't know where the source is. So he should have davened for the people. That's why he was punished. So Chaim Ed over there, daven. He davening probably wouldn't have helped. Wouldn't have helped. Doesn't matter. If it hurts you, as it's tutvei shreifen, you got to scream out. It should hurt us to matzah in Eretz Yisrael. We should daven. Kal v'chomer daven, in fact, may help. Speaks about Avraham Avinu, that he davened for various things. For Sodom he davened. It hurt him that the whole town is going down the tubes. They weren't exactly tzaddikim, he knew that, but it bothered him. See, davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we should also be filled with more kavana. Someone will add a paratilim. I resist to that because I feel my shul will say an extra paratilim. So they not a paratilim. At I don't want to say any more than that. I'll just be part of the sitter. I think we should daven with instead of adding. Let's just, you know, I'm not talking about an occasional once in a while getting together say tilim the whole oil, and that's what's appropriate. Let's daven what we have there already. We should daven with greater kavana. We talk about Eretz Yisrael. Some many brachas about Eretz Yisrael. That's the Eda Kavana. And the destruction of our enemies, we have that there too. That's Ed more Kavana. There's a lot of places in that. I think we talk about these things. We just sort of brrrr. So today we should have more Kavana. We think about this. It's very, very important. Unfortunately, there are many people, Achenu B'nai Yisrael, especially in America, who have simply drifted away. They even lost their connection to Eretz Yisrael. You read about this in the secular press, secular Jewish press, about the UJA, United Jewish Appeal, which is always the hallmark of Yidden, even those who were completely alienated from it. From mitzvahs, but UJA, you know, when Eretz Yisrael was under siege in the Six-Day War, everyone, all the Yidden gave money, no matter what their connection or lack thereof, everyone gave money. No more. It's a big problem. There are many, many people, wealthy Jews, who don't give any money to it. They lost the connection to Eretz Yisrael. It's terrible. They lost the connection. Why? What led them to lose the connection? Very simple. America. America. The influence of America is so great that it led them to lose the connection. Now, of course, this started gradually 100 years ago, but it's become stronger and stronger. You know, maybe you don't know, that 40, 50 years ago, after a couple of generations already of non-observant Jews, by and large, in this country, people unfortunately left their religion behind when they came over, or they lost already in Europe or subsequently. Still, the amount of intermarriage was minimal. The early part of the last century was very minimal, and the first half and even beyond was also fairly minimal. Certainly it was a single digit figure. That's a lot of numbers, even that, but we're still a single-digit figure. Now, you're probably aware, there's a machlokes what the statistics are, but some estimate over 50%. I said, no, it's not only 40%. The machlokes 40, 50, that's the range. It's terrible! What happened? We lost our connection. We became so infatuated with the idea of making it in America that we forgot our roots, our moorings. We were detached from them. Terrible. I heard it once from the Rav, Zichron Levracha. It's a chumash here on Parshas Lech Lecha. It's a very strange thing. Vayelech ito Lot, that Lot came with Avraham Avinu. All of a sudden, a few psukim later, we read that Lot is interested in what? He's interested in Sodom, and there's a riv. What happened? What changed? What changed? This is a few psukim later. You open up the parasha, this week's parasha, you just open up, you'll see right away. The parasha begins at the very beginning, what we call the first parak Yud Beis, and that one. It says, it's a Lot. Lot calls him, and Lot is Moshe Nefesh. Right? Lot is Moshe Nefesh to come with Avraham Avinu. Not so simple, he left much of his family behind. It's tremendous credit. This is Pasuk Daf. Okay? Good. And they go there. It's Israel, and it's fine, it's terrific. Huh? All of a sudden, we see they have to come back from Mitzrayim. What happens? Lo nasal sam aras Hashem asyachta. They can't live together. So the Rav explained, it doesn't only mean because they have too many sheep. It means that they're no longer so eye to eye. So Avraham is trying to reduce the damage. It was a riv. And he said, Alatim a riva. So the Rav explained, riv is a small fight, and riv is a big one. So listen, let's part as friends before the fight gets too big, it's out of control. So where does he go? So he goes to Sodom. Stop! Shtufe zima. Deva bachal olol peshchunasa. He chose to live in a city of decadence. The same load. What changed? The Rav said the only thing that intervened between Vayelech Ito Lot and Lot's choice of Sodom, only one thing happened. They went to Mitzrayim and back. The Rav explained, they went to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was the center of human civilization. Mitzrayim was a scientific and a cultural center. Mitzrayim was a wealthy community. All of this went to Lot's head. Like all those Jews who assimilated in America, they're the golden of Medina, the culture, this the country of culture, of wisdom, of wealth. And they lost their connection to Am Yisrael. This is America, this is Mitzrayim. Same thing. Lot lost his connection to Avraham Avinu, and unfortunately many Yid lose a connection to Eretz Yisrael. Am Yisrael for that matter. So here to in our society, we have plenty to do. I mean, I'm not this work to do in Eretz Yisrael also. If you can have an impact on people to bring them closer to Avim Shabbat Shemayim, one way or the other, a tremendous mitzvah. Yeah. Tremendous. Yeshiva Bachrim and Rabbonim and Balabatim could all do this in their own little way. Later on in the Parsha, we read that there's a bris ben Absarim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu that you should know Ger Yezar Achor Be'eretz Lo Lohem. So the Netziv explains that it's this pasuk which keeps us alive. The fact that we can never completely assimilate. People think today 50-something% intermarriage, that these Jews are going to become part of the American people, melting pot, and that's it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's not going to happen. Ger Yezar Achor Be'eretz Lo Lohem. I mean, there are those who will no longer be known as Jews. Okay, that's a different story. But if you're known as a Jew, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. For two reasons. On the one hand, if it would happen, we disappear. That's what the Medrash says in Eicha. Gol Yehuda Bagoyim Lo Matzah Manoach. So Chazal, the Medrash Rabbah, they say, Hoyim Matzah Manoach or Hoyim Chozrim. You hear what's going on? If we find a Manoach in Chutzal, he wouldn't come back. So it's a good thing we know about a Manoach. I mean, it sounds strange. That's what the Chazal say. And then the Tziv says in his parish around Chumash, in his parish on the Haggadah, and a few other places, that this has kept us alive. The fact that the Goyim will not allow us to assimilate completely. You know, the Jewish historians say, it's a very sad commentary, Jewish historians say, that historically the Jewish people have assimilated as much as the Goyim would let them. That's a very sad commentary. I don't know if it's even true, but that's what the historians say. So what does that mean? If they let us assimilate, we would disappear. So it's the very fact that they don't let us assimilate that keeps us alive. And the Tzim has felt not going that way. V'hi sha'abdallah v'sein v'lanu. What is it? We said before. Ger yezer afar beres lo lahem. That's what keeps us alive. So we know that the chutzlar is always going to be some measure of lack of acceptance. And then the parsha ends It's a mitzvah of milah. Unbelievable mitzvah. Mitzvah of milah. Chazal say, Rashi quotes it even in the next week's parasha, that Rav Avinu didn't know what to do by milah. So he asked Mamre, one of his three goyish friends, one of Eshkol Mamre. It's not loyal. So the father, what? You see a goyish neighbor, should I have milcha tonight? What's going on here? Why is he asking Mamre? So the father said like this, Avraham Avinu was a tremendous Baal Chesed. We all know his Nida was Chesed. And if you think about the Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu, almost every one of them was the opposite of Chesed. Almost everyone. What's the first? So some say Lech Lecha. Some say. But others say not only, they're preceding ones. There was the drawing into the Kibshan Eich. But something that was even an early one than that. Avram was put into solitary confinement, according to one verse in the Medrash, for 13 years, a long time. Now some people will enjoy confinement, and not be alone. Avram was a Baal Chesed. He wanted to interact with people. Then he's told, we mentioned at the beginning of this year today, Lech Lecha Me'aretz, leave your aging father. That's what goes against so much as Midas HaChesed. And he's told, just go down the list. Mila. First, Mila is Achzorius. It seems to be cruelty. Malia Charlotte. Ooh, it's tough. Even yourself, if you're a Baal Chesed, it's difficult. You're a sensitive person. That's one of these hard guys. And then, next week, we read what other Mishonis. Throw your son out of the house. And ultimately, the Akedah. So basically, all the Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu were the opposite of his Teva. His Teva was Chesed. He told that, you want to worship Hashem with Chesed? That's easy to serve Hashem for you. Chesed. Serve Hashem the other direction. That's a Nisoyim. Against the grain. The Farshim explained. What's this Mila? Mila is more than that. The Farshim already say. That Avraham Avinu is afraid, if he'll do the Bris Mila, that the Goyim will say he's barbaric. It'll have nothing to do with him. His whole Kiruv organization will be destroyed. So he wanted to know, so the first one explained, should he do the Mila publicly or privately? Should he keep it a secret or not? He has to do what Hashem said, no questions. But he keeps it a secret, the Kiruv organization will work better. So he asks Mamre. And Mamre says, no! Kachom Ayom, we can go out to the Mila in public, Be'etam Ayom Hazeh, Nimal Avram Yishmael, but no, end of the parasha. Yeah, in the middle of the day. Mamre was a smart guy. He was telling Avram Avinu that don't try to hide your religion. Up front. We have more respect if you're up front, if you try to hide. Ultimately, the assimilation is to try to become part of it. The hoi polloi and the fancy culture of the Hamonam of the nation which they live, they lose the respect. And if the people who are public about their Judaism will earn more respect. So you, my dear Talmidim, are the descendants of Avraham Avinu, and you are his spiritual heirs as well. You're all going to go out one day and do something in this world. Some of the Marbitei Torah. I imagine the majority making a parnasa in various fields. Remember, you carry the burden of Avraham Avinu. The tremendous achrayus. On the one hand, you will find that you observe your religion publicly, you'll have more respect. Again, by and large, from the non-Jewish world. They have problems with some of the non-observant Jews. That's what I found in my Talmidim have. They have bigger problems. One of our Yamak has a bigger problem from the non-observant Jew, sometimes even an observant Jew, than from the non-Jews. But you can become this person, Yisrael HaShem B'choyes Por, and even the Goyim or the non-from, well, the from, everyone will look up to you and say, this guy's an honest fellow. Puts in a day's work, he helps people, he's does all the right things. And then people will be influenced by you. And that's what the purpose of Avraham Avinu is. And if we have to be in Golos Nebuch, That's the purpose of a purpose of galus. All that goyim. Remember, if you carry this badge of Zera Avram, it's a tremendous responsibility as well as opportunity. If you take advantage of it, do what's right, and you're honest, and you speak politely. So the Brios say about you, Brios means Jews and non-Jews. Wow, this guy learned Yeshiva, learned Torah. Ashrei Ovev Shalim B'Torah, Ashrei Rabbah Shalim B'Torah, make me feel proud. Yes, there's a wedding, someone says, you know, your Talmud is this, woo. Makes me feel so proud that someone who's a Talmud of mine is doing so well. Chas v'shalom, we shouldn't have opposite kinds of reports of, I once mentioned to you, Ein Peretz v'ein Tzvocha v'ein Yotzes b'chov Oseinu, and toward the end of Tillim. You have to hope there shouldn't be a Talmud Chas v'shalom Diach Tavshila who burns a soup and embarrasses his rebbeim with his indiscretions or his inappropriate actions. Rebbeim, pray for this. They shouldn't have such talmidim. Not so simple. You know, I try my shiur, I see a guy is not for me, I say, listen, no, you're not for me. But hundreds of talmidim, you can't be 100%. Try 100%. Not everyone should understand the Ktos or the Rav Chaim. That's a different shul. Everyone should be a mensch. And so the Bris Mila was done in a public manner, because. According to Shitas HaChinuch, the purpose of Mila is to separate us from the Goyim. We're in effect branded. Of course, why the brand have to take place after there? So we don't know the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't understand his mitzvahs completely. But I'll give you one little hint I can give you from the Ramban, the sixth parasha. Ramban says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the mitzvah of Mila to Avraham Avinu. Don't just give it to him in a vacuum. Oh no. He gives it to him in a context. In a context. What's the context? The context is Vato es Brisi Tishmar, Atov es Aracha Charecha Ledoros. You will keep my bris, you and your children after you. So Ramban makes the following comment. He says there's a connection. There's a connection between these two things, namely the mitzvah of Bris Mila on one hand, and the children of Avraham Avinu on the other hand. There's a connection. Well, the pasuk says, "Hinei Brisi Itach V'Yisal Avamon Goyim." On that pasuk, the Ramban says, "What does it mean? After the Bris." You're going to have children. Baruch Hashem, says the Ramban, Ashalol levado niskinu alilos, shehiktim v'tzivos Avram lovav v'brisa lehimo, kodem shetar sara, lios zaro kodosh. What a remarkable expression in Ramban. That a Kosh Baruch put the Bris Mila in the Mokam Amila, because that's where a person has children. Through that Ava, the person is privileged to have children, is blessed to have children. So what that means? That means, as I understand it, that if a person has a Bris Mila, he's in a higher Madrega than someone who doesn't have a Bris Mila. Because I'll say that an Oral is a low Madrega. It's so low that Oral Kazar, an Oral is not a Kohen, he's not even a fully Yisrael, he's lacking some measure of Kedushas Yisrael. You know, in Yiddish they say, oh, now that you got a bris, he's a full-fledged Jew. We think it's what kind of Yiddish is the Baba Mice? No, there's something to it. That the full Kedushas Kahuna cannot be achieved, Oral Kazar, because the full Kedushas Yisrael can't be achieved without a Bris Mila. And therefore, if a person has a Bris Mila, and then he has a child, since the Kedushas of Bris is the ability to pass it on to the next generation, I don't mean it in the full literal sense of it, because literally the person said, oh, that's a child, and the mother is Jewish, the child is Jewish. But the passing on the tradition is from the Bris Milah. That's what makes you a holier Jew, then by the Bris Milah, you can then pass it on to the next generation. You have a child with the Eva, which is Mo, not an Aro, Kalilu. And what does the Bris Milah tell us? As we know, but the Mayachai, the Mesiris Nefesh, that's what we give on to generations to come, that we are Jews, and some of it's difficult. We have to be ready to be Moser Nefesh. But of course, to emphasize that aspect exclusively would be counterproductive, wouldn't be good parenting. So we have to mention that briefly, but also talk about the greatness, the beautiful aspect of being a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. These are all critical requirements and obligations that we all have, one time or another, B'ez Hashem. So I give you a bracha, just to conclude, a bracha should be zelchet to fulfill all the various important mitzvahs that we spoke about, which relate to Parshas Lech Lecha, the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. You're not potter from it, you're chayav to fulfill it to the best of your abilities. B'ez Hashem, those who are able to should live in Eretz Yisrael. It's a critical thing, especially Bizman Azeh. Hope that all of you will be privileged at one point in time to fulfill the mitzvah of Avraham Avinu of Bris Milah, which of course is the beginning of a much greater all-encompassing mitzvah of raising a generation of tzaddikim who follow in your footsteps and in the footsteps of all of our forefathers way back to Avraham Avinu. And the discourse of all of these mitzvahs, which are critical mitzvahs of, you know, central mitzvahs to our existence, to who we are. We should be zocher to have all these brachas, the brachas of Eretz Yisrael and the brachas of Torah and the brachas of our forefathers and the brachas of children. All the brachas of the founding of our Avraham Avinu fulfilled with his children, including us. We hope that this will be what will happen. Again, this is bechira chofshi. There's a lot of choice you have to make in life based on what we said today in the shiur. Hopefully you'll make all the proper choices and be zocher to these brachas. Shabbos.